I thank you all again here in the Teaneck community for the warm welcome I always receive, especially when I come early and I'm able to speak with you. And I'd like to thank those in other cities overseas as well who have taken the time to join us this evening. And I certainly hope that my words will have an impact which will last beyond the speech here tonight. Over the last year or so, I've been learning the sugya of Shimshon HaGibar, the sugya of one of the most colorful personalities in Tanakh. And tonight I'd like to discuss Shimshon's death, the end of his life. As you all know, he died by pulling down the pillars of a building, saying, Tamos Nafshi and Pelishtim, killing himself, but along with that, the Gemara says, more Pelishtim were killed in his death than he had succeeded in killing in his life. There are certain words that Shimshon says at the end of his life which need to be explained. Vayikra Shimshon el Hashem. Shimshon calls out to God and he says, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Zachreini na v'chazkeini na ach hapam hazeh. Let me have my strength once more, just one more time. V'nak menokam achas mishnei einai mipelishtim. And I will take revenge from one of my eyes. The Pelishtim had blinded Shimshon. And he said, I have two zchusim. For one of those eyes which was blinded, give me the schus to be able to destroy the Pelishtim. Amarav, Amar Shimshon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shimshon rather said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for one eye, let me have Olam Hazeh. And the schus of the second eye, I will hold till Olam Haba. Rashi, here in Shaftim, brings this Chazal. And there's an apparent difficulty. The Mishnah in Sotah Daf Tes Amud Beis says, Shimshon halach achar einav, lefikach nokru pelishtim es einav. The fact that Shimshon lost his eyes was a punishment for having gone after his eyes in marrying Plishti women. And therefore, the loss of his eyes does not appear to be something that could be a schus for him. It would appear that the loss of his eyes are payment, are an einish for his previous chatoim. So the first question is, how can Shimshon demand schar for each of his eyes if in fact they were punishment for a chedi he had done earlier? Secondly, the derech of Rashi in Tanakh is always to bring the pshat of the Gemara. And Rashi says that the pulling down of the building was schar to the eyes, as the pasuk seems to say, one in Olam Hazeh, one in Olam Haba. Rashi adds that from Chazal. Yet the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud says, Omer Shimshon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Zechar li esrim shana sheshafatati es Yisrael. Remember for me the 20 years that I judged the Jewish people. V'lo yamarti la'echad mehem haver li makel memakim lemakim. And I never asked them to service me to so much as carry a stick from place to place. And it's in that schar that Shimshon was saying that I should be successful in pulling down this building. And these two explanations of Chazal, I hope we will bring together tonight in a far-reaching understanding of the death of Shimshon. Most great people in Tanakh die peaceful deaths. It's rare. We find by Shaul, and of course by Gedaliah, Ben Achikam, and again by Shimshon, and each one of them in their death teaches us an important lesson. Let us turn to a discussion regarding tshuva. Because the Me'am Layez on Shaiftim here in this pasuk brings regarding the first kasha. Shimshon was punished. That's why he lost his eyesight. How could he demand skar? Regarding this kasha, the Me'amlaye says, well, obviously it must be that he had done tshuva for that chait, and therefore this turned into a something which for which he was deserving of schar. We're going to examine that tonight and examine the parsha of tshuva and what it is regarding tshuva that we could take with us from this story. I have an old kasha. A kasha which I had asked to Rebbeim and to others for many, many years. We know, since we were children, that a fundamental idea of Judaism is the concept that a person can sin all his life. And if he does tshuva at the last hour, yesh kaina oilamai bishah achas, he can merit being judged a tzaddik. If a person at the end truly regrets his averis, such a person not only is a kaina oilamai, not only does he go straight to olam haba, but the Gemara says more. There was a gentleman by the name of Eliezer ben Dordoi who sinned in sins involving taiva, lust, all his life. And at the very end he did tshuva. And a bas koel called out, Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordoi, Muchad l'chaye olam haba. And from this the Gemara says we learn that not only can you turn it around in the last minute, Rebbe, he got smicha. I have to study for 2 years and take 5 bechinas. And this man, in a moment of greatness, a flash of greatness, shah achas in an hour, he got smicha. Incredible. We're used to this. We know tshuva can turn things around. We find that the reverse is true as well. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem says that a person can do mitzvahs, nice and tovim all his life. He could be a kohen gadol for 80 years. If at the end he's taya al rishayonos, he regrets what he did, he loses it all. He loses it all. He loses all of that, the merits of the good things that he did. At the end, if he regrets them, they're erased. And he's the opposite of Muchan L'chaye Olam Haba. He takes the elevator down. I don't understand. Loksa Midas Hadin. My sense of judgment is warped. I don't understand this judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't see it that way. If you have one individual, year after year, he woke up early in the morning and went to Davin. He resisted temptation and ate only things that were kosher and did only things that were kosher. He gave of his money to help poor people, to help orphans and widows. This was his life. And at the end, he had a bad year. He had a terrible year. He regretted doing good things. He became a rasha. And he should be judged for that bad year. But what about the 80 years of kindness, of goodness? And here you have his neighbor, who for 80 years slept late, for 80 years ran after all types of pleasures of this world, who did not take of his money and share it with anybody. And here, he has a good day. He has a day, and I'm sure it's hard. And he deserves schar for that. And he truly regrets everything he did. Why is he on a, not just on a higher level, but in a totally different place than his neighbor. For 99% of his life, his neighbor outshone him. And because at the last day things were turned around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs a world in which the Mishpat HaShamayim makes that this individual is on a higher level than the first. We have a Kabbalah, it's this way. We understand that it's this way. But I strive to understand why it's this way. Recently, I wrote an introduction to an upcoming sefer that's being put out with some of the shmuzim, some of the Torah of Rav Palm, my Rebbe. And in that introduction, I suggest a machshava, a thought that would answer this question. And it's an interesting thing. 2 weeks ago, I came home with the proof from the printer of this introduction. And I sat down to dinner. And my wife told me a thought she saw in the Alei Shur. And it was the same machshava. I told her, Alei Shur? That's my vart. Yeah, I could prove it to you. I have the proofs. Having seen this in the Alei Shur, in the first volume, I believe it's page Mem Dalid, the name of the piece is Yomim Neiroim. I feel comfortable sharing the thoughts with you. At first, I think you will see it as a tremendous chiddush. Subsequently, I hope, you'll see it as a tremendous opportunity. When God created the world, one of the creations is man. God created the concept of time. We don't understand how anything or anyone could exist outside of the concept of time, of Zman. But we have this Kabbalah, this idea that time itself is a creation. Modern science has only in the last generation started to understand that time is not a constant. And perhaps someday they'll understand a little bit regarding what this means. The time itself is a creation. We understand that God created time in three forms. The Avar, the Hoyve, the Asid. Past, present, and future. All of existence speeds forward. Every moment which is present quickly turns into the past. And we are forever living in that zone which we call Haiva, the present. In our Kaddish Baruch Hu's judgment, the Haiva has far more weight than the Avar. Yes, we are accustomed to the idea that on Yom Kippur we're judged for the Avar, for the past. It's hard to deny that the scale of judgment contains mitzvahs and averis that are all from the Avar. But there is a lopsided value, an extraordinary value placed on the present, on the Haiva. If you want chusim for mitzvahs of the past, the mitzvahs you have done in the past, for some reason in God's judgment, have a value based on how much they influence you today in the Haiva. If there's a judgment on averis of the past, that judgment is severe only to the extent that that avera influences you today, where you are now. The Haiva gives the value to the other. In God's judgment, Haiva is primary. I had a Talmud in the yeshiva who had gone to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and there started to learn very seriously and became a solid Ben Torah, a budding Talmud Chacham. And when he reached the age of dating, he came back to the yeshiva. And although he started with the bread, he started marvelously, the year was not a successful year for him. His old yetzaharas, his old temptations came back, and he struggled terribly, and apparently not so successfully, with these temptations. He decided this summer, despite the fact that he wants to get married, he's been dating for almost a year, he decided that he has to go back to Eretz Yisrael this year, take a year off from dating, and come back to the, at least to the level that he was on. And this young man called me a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. And he said, wow, you know, a year ago Rosh Hashanah, he was thinking he doesn't have that much to do tshuva about. Baruch Hashem, this year he has what to do on Rosh Hashanah. The last year was a difficult year. I told him I don't agree with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges what you did in the past year based on the Haiza, on where you are today. Where are you today? If where you are today is somehow better for that experience of failure, then that's positive. The Gemara says, Nasin like Kizachuyais. Averis fall on the side of merit if a person somehow makes himself better for it. Because it's the Haiva that matters. In the words of the Alei Shor, the Alei Shor refers to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which I think many of you are familiar with, which states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a human being by Asher Hu Sham, the way you are today. We learned that from Yishmael. What was the incident with Yishmael? God did not judge Yishmael based on the Asid, that in the future his descendants would do terrible things to the Jewish people. God said, no, Basher Husham, I judge him the way he is today. Says the Alei Shor from the Yerushalmi, that just as we say man is judged Basher Husham, the way you are now, and not based on the future, so too you are judged the way you are now and not the way you were yesterday or the day before. Of course you're judged for the Avar, but to the extent it affects you in the Haizen. Now you may ask, why is God's judgment this way? Why is it that way? In a classroom, a student takes 5 or 6 exams in a semester, and we average in his marks. We don't take his last mark and give a lopsided value to his last, to the last exam that he took. And I would think the answer to that is, if this world were a place to score points, then you're right. A touchdown in the first quarter and a touchdown in the fourth quarter are worth the same amount of points. This world, though, is not a place to score points. It's a place of preparation. Haskein atzmecha b'praizdar. It's a place where we prepare so that when we come to Olam HaEmes, when our life is done and we stand before God, we're prepared to be nehenem b'ziv hashchina, prepared to be people who can enjoy spiritual perfection, who can enjoy a purity in the study of Torah. It's a world of preparation. You see, when you're preparing, all the preparation only matters to the extent that there's something now, here, today, in the Haiva. If you hire a worker to prepare a party, and he does 5 days of fantastic work, and on the 6th day he throws it out, you don't pay him for the 5 days of work. And so too in this world. The Avar is important to the extent that it affects you in the Haiza. Now we understand that in God's justice, in the Melech HaMishpat's system of justice, the 80 years of being a Kohen Gadol don't count for much if at the end you're not a Kli Muchan, you're not a prepared Keli, you're not a prepared receptacle for Olam Haba. The Ovar is great if it has value in the Haiza. I remember as a child I had a neighbor. I'll tell you the truth, I did not know if he was Jewish or not. Quiet man. His children had already married and moved on when I was growing up. He lived alone with his wife. One day I was playing ball in front of my house as a teenager. And this man was watching. I assumed he was watching to see how well I play ball. When I walked off the street in New York City, we play ball in the street. He approached me and he started, the first words he had ever said to me, he started to say Mishnayis Baal Peh, Haminiyach Hatzakad B'Shus HaRabbi. And I was bewildered. I said, You? Mishnayis Baal Peh? So he told me that before the Holocaust, he had been a cheder, had been in a yeshiva. And he said to me then that had he known that after the Holocaust, Orthodoxy would return, he would have embraced it, but he thought it was all gone. Now, I don't judge this man. Anybody who went through the Holocaust can hardly be judged for yish, for having feelings of giving up. But I'm talking about my experience with this man. Over the years that followed, every once in a while he would talk to me. And he would tell me how his grandfather was a rabbi, and he had a cousin that was a Hasidic Rebbe. And he would talk proudly about how his mother would light Shabbos candles. And he talked about religious experiences in a positive way. It bewildered me. I was repulsed by it. I don't understand. You have no connection. You're not Shomer Shabbos. You don't eat kosher. You do nothing. Why are you talking proudly about having relatives, ancestors, who are from? It has zero connection to you. If you want to be an apikairis, do it right. What kind of apikairis are you if you deny and practice God's existence? And you talk fondly about lighting Shabbos candles? About a Hasidic Rebbe? You're a fool. Nostalgia carries little value. The Avar is valuable when it's connected to the Haiva. When you're in disconnect, it has little value. And therefore, we must conclude that it's our job to connect to moments of Avar for which we want Tzchar, for which we want to find favor in the heavenly court. Subsequently, I found that this thought, which as I said, I found in the Alei Shor, one Thursday night, a Mishmar night, I opened one of the journals, the Yeshurun journals, the journal of Tovshin Nun Zayin, and I saw there a shmuz from Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, which although it's written there rather briefly, really says the same thing. Rabbi Aaron Leib there asks Akasha. We're told that before the Jews left Egypt, God said to them, Va'at Eroim Ve'eriyah, how can you be saved from the Egyptians? At Aaron the area, you're naked. You're naked of schusim, of merit. And therefore, God gave the Jewish people the two mitzvahs of Bris Milah and the mitzvah of Bris of Dam Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "The erech misbeiseses bedamayich, v'omer lach bedamayich hayi." I see you with the blood of Dam Pesach v'Damila, and I say to you, b'damai yechayi, you'll leave Egypt in schus of the dam. Rabbi Aaron Leib asks, why do they need the schus of the dam? They had to leave. God had promised Avraham Avinu at the Bris Bein Avsarim, v'avodum v'inu oisam arba mei eshana, v'achre ken yetum bruchush gadol. It had to be that the Jewish people left Egypt. It could be no other way. What is this at Aaron the area? Says Rabbi Aaron Leib, we see from here that whatever merit of the past a human being has, he has to connect to it in the Haiva. And to the extent that in the present you connect to it, you have something from it. He brings another example with light. Light was saved from the destruction of Sodom. The Gemara says in the merit of the fact that he was silent when Avram lied and said Sarah was his sister. Light did not reveal the secret. And for that he merited to be saved from Sodom. Rabbi Aaron Leib asks, there's another chazal, that Light was saved from Sodom because of his hachnasas orchim, because he took in the guests, the angels who came as guests to his home. These two gemaras seem to contradict each other. Says Rabbi Aaron Leib, the same you say. The same idea that it's true. Light from his connection to Avraham had chosen. But he had to show that the connection is alive and well. It's interesting. I saw this late on a Thursday night. And that Friday morning, it's my custom usually to daven Vasikin on Friday morning. And I go to a local minyan. And there's a well-known member of our community, a very wealthy man who gives a lot of money to tzedakah, who davens there as well. And it's my custom at Vayavarach David in Psukei Dezimra to go over to the Pushka and put a quarter into the Pushka. The Sidurim bring this minhag al pi Arizal. Actually, there's a Gemara in the first parak of Bava Basra, which says that people should give tzedakah before Shemayna Esrei, as a schus for Shemayna Esrei. In many shuls, I suppose here as well, they go collecting during Chazaras Hashatz. Actually, that's a preparation for Mincha, before Shemayna Esrei. As I walked over to the Pushka to put the quarter in, I see this Jew, and he gives a lot of money to many worthy causes here and in Israel. He gives $10 million a year, $50 million, $100 million, I don't know. You know, someone like me, $10 million, $100 million, same thing. Never saw $100 million, never saw $10 million. You know, not like I saw $1 million, but okay. And I'm thinking, what's this man putting a quarter into the Pushka? That's a schus for him in Shemayim. You know, this year, instead of giving $92 million, he gave $92 million and 25 cents. You know, the Rebbeim always say, who knows, maybe that quarter will make the scale go down. You know, to me, $92 million makes the scale go pretty much down. You know, it's pretty good. The quarter, the tifa shabiyam, it's a drop in the bucket. And I was thinking of this idea, that a person's schus is when his past is related to the haiva. And then I understood the story of Shimshon. I understood that Shimshon was coming to do tshuva. Everything he did in his last moments was connected to his past. There were two things about his past at that moment. When Shimshon stood there holding on to the pillars of that majestic building, his life could be summed up in one positive way and in one negative way. The positive was Esrim Shana Shafatati Es Yisrael. For 20 years I judged the Jewish people myself, Every single Shaifet, every one of them, had other Jews who followed him into battle. Other Jews who helped him. Some had many Jews help them. Some had only a few Shvatim. But none of them did it alone. Except for Shimshon. Yet those who ask, how could Shimshon kill himself? Is it mutter for a person to cause his own death in order to kill enemies of the Jewish people? The fact is that the Nitziv in his Pirish on Parshas Noach says, "Hashoifech dam odom ba'odom dama yishofech." The prohibition against suicide, against going into a place of danger, is only dam odom ba'odom. Even the prohibition on murder does not apply to a wartime scenario. Someone in war, says in the Tziv, Kachidake Shalaylam. Shimshon was fighting a war against the Plishtim all his life. And this was another battle in the war. And putting oneself in mortal danger is not a prohibition during wartime. And so Shimshon looked back at his life. He had this positive lifetime goal of being a Shofet Yisrael. And he had this negative past nisayon of Holach Achareinov. And at the last moment he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Holachti Achareinov, I'm not connected to that anymore. It's not here in the Haiva. As the Mayam Laye says, on that he had done a complete shuva. There was no judgment on that anymore. So Shimshon could ask merit for one eye, that he'll take Nekama from the Plishtim, that he'll avenge what the Plishtim had done to him, and for the other eye to go to Olam Haba. He was saying that he's disconnected from his negative past. And on the other hand, he says, Hashem Elikim, Zachreinina v'chaskeinina, Zachar li esrim shana sheshafatati es Yisrael, I'm very much connected to what I did for 20 years. Because in my death, it's an extension of that. And the Gemara says that the Plishtim, just as during Shimshon's lifetime, they feared the Jewish people for 20 years, La'achar misasai, the awe and the fear of what he had done left an impression that lasted another 20 years. As if to say, in heaven they agreed, his death was connected to the merits of his life. This past year, I passed my 50th birthday, Ken Yerbu. I don't know, I'm a little funny about these things. I take them seriously. I don't mean birthday cake style. But every year is a milestone. I was remembering, I once had an experience 15 years ago when I was first starting in the Rabbonus business in our neighborhood. And there was a certain community issue in which I had taken a stand, and I found out that there was another Rav in the neighborhood who had expressed displeasure. So I went to his house and I rang the bell. And his wife opened the door and I told her who I was. And she said to me, she's a good wife, supports her husband. She said to me derisively, Rabbi Reisman, you're so young. I'm usually not at a loss for words. So I had an answer for her. I told her, yes. And once upon a time, they said the same thing about your husband. Today, we're good friends anyway. But I just remember the comment as the years go on. And in my thinking about this, I decided that this year, Yamim Nairoim, maybe I would do well to depart from my usual practice of taking on new things in the coming year, and maybe consolidating things that I had worked on in the past, issues in which I had perhaps been stronger in the past, and maybe looking back, maybe connecting the Avar to the Haiva, connecting memories of times that certain things went well to today. And the more I think about it, the more I think that it's a worthwhile thing for all of us. We all have memories of times where we felt stronger in all of the routine responsibilities of Yiddishkeit, whether it's our davening, our learning. Maver Sedra, reviewing the Parsha every week, seems to be something that comes and goes in waves. A good year, a bad year, an on year, an off year. Maybe connecting the Haive back to the Avar. Not trying to conquer the whole world at once, but taking certain particular memories of moments of strength, connecting the Avar to the Haive. And then I thought, wow, this is a newfangled plan for tshuva. What do you know? Every year I tell people in shul, let's do this, let's do that. I have this new style plan, Haive, Avar, a new shtickle Torah, new machshava. Thank God I found someone who says it, so I'm not the only one who says it. It's new. And then I realized that the word tshuva doesn't mean to take on new things. The translation of tshuva is to go back. To go back to what? To go back to old strengths. When people think that saying Al Chet on Yom Kippur means becoming a perfect person, I don't know about you, but if tshuva goes back to what I was in my strongest moments, it doesn't mean I'm going to be a tzaddik gomer. Because I have no memory of any past time that I was a tzaddik gomer. And even as a little boy, I'm told I was not. So tshuva, perhaps this is not a newfangled idea. Perhaps this is the very meaning of tshuva. Taking who I am today and connecting back. I have memories of a time where my davening was stronger, where my davening was less rushed, where I had a greater intensity in focusing on my davening. Perhaps I can reconnect to that. My memory takes me back to 12th grade. 12th grade, I somehow remember, was a year that I discovered that you could have kavana in Shmona Esrei, and I worked on it. It's a memory that I have to dust off. If I had waited to 60, perhaps it would have been long gone. But I remember it vividly. I remember Mincha and Yeshiva. I stood off in the corner of the room, and I davened in my place with a greater intensity. And I think that this year I'm going to try to reconnect. Not to the entire intensity and the whole davening, that doesn't work. But I was thinking that the Shulchan Aruch says that the pasuk, Peseach es yodecha umazbiya lechol chai rotzoin, the pasuk, the one pasuk in Ashrei, is the pasuk in Psukei Dezimra, in the first part of davening, where one should have kavanah. And the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Nun Aleph instruct that if you are davening, and if you're like me, and you passed Peseach es Yodecha, and you didn't wake up yet, and you're later in Psukei Dezimra, and you realize you did not have Kavana, Shulchan Aruch says, stop and go back. Go back and repeat Peseach es yodecha umazbia lechol chai ratzayim with kavana. Mishnah Berurah says, and then finish the rest of the paragraph of Ashrei. And Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that it's so, even if it means that you're going to miss saying parts of Psukei Dezimra, because the whole shul is not going to wait for you to go back to Peseach es yodecha, unless they're all doing the same. Maybe that's a good Kabbalah. To reconnect to that shuka for kavana. It's my hope that if I go back often enough, it'll happen to me occasionally, that I'll have kavana the first time around. But it's a Kabbalah that connects me to a moment of strength in the past. A moment of strength in learning. I think most of us, certainly those of us who've had the benefit of years in yeshiva, can remember moments where we thought that maybe, just maybe, we'll be Talmidei Chachamim. But perhaps we had the taste of hasmada, of being a masmid, of focusing and enjoying the focus. And then life gets busy. A successful person merits having a family, having a job, having a business, having a home, and becoming quite busy. Perhaps, just perhaps, we can reconnect. Take a time in the week. I suggest Mishmar night. I find Thursday night just right. Because Shabbos, we sleep more anyway. It's part of our increasing desire to be mekayim all of the mitzvahs, including that of sleeping on Shabbos. If you stay up late Thursday night, you can sleep on Shabbos with hiddur mitzvah. Bishmak. To reconnect. That idea of reconnecting is all important in all areas of Avodas Hashem. I know some people will cynically state that they have no recollection of any moments of greatness. But it's not true. Everybody had moments of tshuka, of desire. And connecting that to today is something worthy. It's a schus that connects wonderful times in the past and gives us strength today. More than anywhere else, this is true about Shalom Bayis. When a person gets engaged, when a person is first married, there's a courtship, there's a desire to please, there's a kindness, a gentleness. What changes? What changes with time? Why is it that many years later it's not that way? I'm not sure. So I asked my wife. I asked her, what changes? And she said, quite accurately, that in the beginning, you enjoy your husband or your wife's milus, the things that are positive about their personality, about their nature. The positive attributes that they have are things that attract you to the person you marry. As the years go on, you take it for granted. Whatever positive attribute there is, you take for granted. You don't notice it anymore. I suspect that if you take a man after 25 or 30 years and you ask him what unique attributes you saw in your wife when you married her 25 years ago, I think he's going to scratch his head and say, well, it just happened. You know, we liked each other, we got married. For lack of focus. The negative attributes, of course, you always notice. And the only way to go back, is to become a giver again. Because over years, the milus, the good points that one sees in the person they marry, that a person sees in his or her spouse, becomes lost. With the yeshiva bacher
was dating for 5 or 6 years, and he met his Rebbe, his old Rosh Hashiva. His Rosh Hashiva asked him, "Nu, what's doing already?" He says, "You know, I'm dating. And when it gets serious, I bring the girl home to meet my parents. And over these 5 or 6 years, it happened 6 or 7 times, I brought a girl home, and every time I bring a girl home, my mother vetoes the girl. I'm not going to marry someone my parents don't want, that they don't like. And this is what I'm living through." So Rosh Hashiva thought for a moment. He says, "You know what? I have an idea for you. When you go out on a date, date only those girls that are similar to your mother, that have her similar interests, similar nature. Date someone who's similar, and that way your mother will naturally have an inclination to like that girl." Another year or two passed before this Rosh Hashiva met this young man again. He says, "Nu?" And the boy says, "I'm trying." So Rosh Hashiva says, "Well, did you try my idea?" He says, "Yeah, I only date girls that are similar to my mother. And whenever I bring them home, my mother loves them, but my father vetoes them." With time, those positive attributes become things we take for granted. The only way to deal with it, the only way, is to be a nice saint, to be a giver. To be someone who's willing to take upon himself the responsibility of Shalom Bayis, to give rather than to look to receive. To be someone who's interested in giving, it doesn't just mean giving gifts. Giving means patience. Giving means understanding. Giving means that if your wife calls you in the middle of a busy day and she locked the keys in the car, I need you to drive down to the parking lot at the supermarket and rescue her, that you do it happily. You see it as an opportunity to show love and caring. One woman told me that it happens to her all the time. She calls her husband, she has no choice, she locks the keys in. She takes an extra set of keys, but she leaves them in the car usually. Yet she once called her husband from the supermarket parking lot and said, "I locked the keys in the car." He said, "I'm so busy." He says, "What should I do? You better come because I have carpool in the afternoon." So he left to come. And she's going back, waiting by the car, and she sees that the button is up in the back door. So I asked her, "What'd you do?" So she said, "The only sensible thing to do, I quickly pushed the button down and slammed the door." To be a giver. Someone told me he had a funny experience. I don't think it's so funny. He was in Eretz Yisrael, and together with a number of other Bachrim that were learning there, American boys, they went to eat a Shabbos meal at the table of Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is a Maggid in Yerushalayim. And he said it was funny at the Shabbos table talking to Bachrim, older Bachrim. He was talking about Shalom Bayis most of the time. Finally, one of the boys asked him, "If Shalom Bayis is so important, why isn't it mentioned in Shemoneh Esrei? We ask for Parnasa, we ask for health, we ask for Mashiach, we ask for Yerushalayim, we ask for wisdom. Why don't we ask for Shalom Bayis? It's not mentioned anywhere in Shemoneh Esrei." So Rabbi Galinsky told them, "Oh yes, it is. We say, V'nafshi ka'ofar lakoil tihiyah. We say, let my soul, my spirit, be ka'ofar as dust lakoil tihiyah." Which, Rishayim, Rashi and Taisus have two pshatim, which they say means, let it not bother me, let things not bother me. Just like dust, even if people step on it, it's eternal. People do things that bother me. Let it roll off. V'nafshi ka'afar la'kel tihiyah. He said, that's Shalom Bayis. So they laughed. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. A human being is into himself. And when you talk about connecting the Avar to the Haiva, we know that as the years go on, we become people who are stronger in our nature, less flexible, less willing to bend, less accepting of other people's failures in areas where it impacts us. And where somebody who's a young married person can easily bend and turn, as the years go on, we become stiffer. And it's to our detriment. We're not happier because of it. V'nafshi ka'afar la'kel tihiyah. You want to work on Shalom Bayis? You want to have kavana in one part of davening? V'get v'seches yadecho mazbi'a l'chol chai ratzoin. Grab v'nafshi ka'afar la'kel tihiyah. The flexibility. The ability to bend. Not to have to respond to everything you see that you don't like. That's in the Avar. One of the wonders of the early years of maturity. And later, it becomes more difficult. Rav Palm, when he used to speak at a Sheva Brachas, would often say, turn to the Kasson and the Kala and say, the courtship does not end here. And that's a powerful message. We talk about connecting Avar to Haiva. In davening, yes. In learning, certainly. In Shalom Bayis. There are few people who can deny that going back to old strengths would not only benefit them spiritually, but would make each individual a better person, a stronger person. That's the Avar. And so, as we think about a coming year, as we think about what it means to do tshuva, as we think about Shimshon in his last moments, what is Shimshon doing? What is the natural inclination of every human being at the end? It's to look back at the past, to look back at a life where this was accomplished or that was accomplished. And to the degree that we can connect it, the Haiva is very much connected to the Avar. I would guess that someone who studies Torah and remembers this Yisayid, remembers this concept, remembers this fundamental idea, will find numerous places where this applies. It may well be that the idea that if a person has performed a hanhaga taiva, has done something positive three times, something that's not required, but it's lifnim mishuras hadin, a hanhaga taiva three times, he's obligated to continue. It has the power of a neder, despite the fact that it was never expressed. It may well be that that idea is connected to our discussion tonight. To connect the haiva to the avar. And after thinking about this concept for an extended period of time, and finding it in the Alei Shor, and seeing that Rav Aaron Leib Steinman mentions it, finally it dawned on me that this is old Torah. I realized that as so often has happened in the past, my Rebbe, Rav Palm Zitzal, in his own quiet way, has said tonight's message many times, but in different words. In his Yomim Neiraim Shmuz, Rav Palm would always say the following. The Mishnah teaches that Hillel mechayiv es ha'aniyim, Yosef is mechayiv balei taiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Chasma is mechayiv ashirim. This means that if an individual says, I was too poor to study Torah, I was too poor to serve Hashem properly, Hillel mechayiv es ha'aniyim. Hillel was poor, and look at what he accomplished. So too, a Baal Taiva, we say, Yosef Mechayiv et a Baal Taiva. A wealthy person who says he's too busy, Rebbe Loza ben Chasma, Mechayiv et Ashirim. Yeah, people are examples. Rav Pam would tell us that every person has in his own life a moment in the past that's Mechayiv him today. A moment in the past where he did something. And when today he says, I can't do it, that moment in the past shines. He says, what do you mean? When you were 19 years old, you had a year in which you decided you're going to focus on davening. And now you can't do it? When you got married, you were willing to overlook certain shortcomings, certain difficulties at home. And now you say, I can't? The moment in the past is mechayiv the moment in the present. That was his tviya, that was his demand of us. And when you think of it, it's a very practical way of expressing the message that we are sharing here this evening. I remember in the early 80s, I was in camp in the summer, and Rav Ruderman, the Chatzadik Levracha, the Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael in Baltimore, was there. He had just lost his wife after a long illness. His wife had been sick for well over a year. She had passed away in June. And Rav Ruderman, who was already quite old and frail, came to convalesce in the guest house in camp. On the Shloshim, the 30th day after his wife's passing, there was a gathering in the shul, which I attended, and which was attended by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Tzitzal, who was a cousin of Rav Ruderman. At that gathering, Rav Ruderman spoke first. He gave a pilpul shir. It was an incredible thing to see a man who was virtually blind, frail, very thin and weak, gives a shining pilpul shir. In his old age, in a voice he had to strain to hear, that was Rav Ruderman. And then he sat down, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky got up to speak. Rav Yaakov was well into his 90s, strong, robust, and he got up after Rav Ruderman, and he said, Rav Ruderman, I remember I held you like this in my arms. And with that, he disarmed the whole audience. I don't know how many years older he was than Rav Ruderman. And then he spoke. I'm sure that he said more than I remember. But let me tell you the part that I'll never forget. He spoke for a while, and then he said to Rav Ruderman, he turned to him. Rav Ruderman was sitting on the stage. He said, Rav Ruderman, the last year you were very busy with your wife, helping her with all the different issues that had to do with her illness. Now that she's not here, Rav Ruderman, chapsach tzirich zum lernen. Get back to your learning. And it struck me and everyone in the audience to see someone talk to one of the Gdolei Hador that way. Rav Ruderman, chapsach tzirich zum lernen. Grab yourself back into your learning. It struck us. And only a long time later I realized Rav Yaakov wasn't talking to Rav Ruderman. I'm sure he spoke to him privately and told him whatever was on his mind. He was talking to us. To the audience, the Talmidim. Whatever happens in one's life, chapsuch tzirik, go back to the old strength,
whatever experience a person has, even if a person feels he's old and frail, and he can't go back, you can go back. You can reconnect. Halavai, this should be a year for all of us of reconnecting to old strengths. And halavai, b'slus zeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wonderful experience that we too should see a world kishanim kadmainiyais, back to the old strengths of Klal Yisrael, with the Geula Shleima, the Meher of Yameinu. Thank you all for listening.